It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. Now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Thanksgiving this weekend, but we'll be here on Monday. The Leafs are playing tomorrow night, and then they're playing Chicago at home on Monday. That game can be heard on TSN 1050 and seen on TSN.
Yeah.
So a couple of big games coming up. The Rangers got spanked last night. Home opener. Think the energy will be there. Who do you think gets the loudest ovation tomorrow night?
Austin Matthews.
Yeah. I think it's Freddie Anderson and Austin Matthews. But Matthews will get the most. Maybe Babs, too.
I was thinking Babcock would get a shout-out.
Yeah.
Marner will get a shout-out. Bill Nylander. What about Marlowe?
What about Lou Lamoriello?
Did they call out Lou? I don't know if they do. No. The GM.
Don't they point up to the box?
I'll bet you he'd shut that down anyway. Yeah, can you imagine how mad he would be if they put a spotlight on him?
Yeah.
He would freak.
He would.
I think Marlowe will get a shout-out.
For sure.
Absolutely. Because, let's be honest, like the Leafs have not been known for the theatrics. You know, they're not known for the greatest ceremonies or pregame.
Well, the Oilers one was a struggle the other night. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't.
So they had the guys who weren't dressed.
Oh, it doesn't need to be like that.
But then they announced the backup goalie. So they had the first two guys that were dressed. They announced the backup goalie. So Brassois comes skating out. They forgot to announce a couple other guys. So they left the backup goalie at the end. He was on the ice.
No way.
And then they had to circle back. It was,
you know what, with the Jumbotrons now, just have all the lineups on the Jumbotron and announce the starting lineup. Here's your Oilers team.
Well,
the Ottawa Senators did a great job last night.
Carlson came out, though. Wouldn't that throw a bit of a curveball at you? Let's say he just walked in and he gets called out. You're like, wow, he's playing tonight.
Yeah, he had skates on and everything.
Fully dressed, but he wasn't playing.
He's playing Saturday from all accounts. That's where Guy Boucher wouldn't tip his hand today, but that's what they're talking about. But they did it was a nice, classy ceremony. They had, obviously, a tribute to the people in Vegas and
Brian Murray.
And Brian Murray.
That was well done.
It was very well done.
TML brings up a good point. I forgot about this. The Leafs didn't do individual intros last year. They just all skated out to center ice, and I think they put their sticks in the air. And
that's cool.
I think they did do that last year. I say forget that, though, man. I want introductions. I want player introductions. You know, I want Matthews and Marlowe and Marner and Nylander to get shout-outs.
I always, personally, I don't know how you were, I hated opening night in your own building because it's such a distraction. Everything, you just want the puck to drop. And I know that's not the greatest mindset, but it's like what we talk about with anthems.
Just speed it up. Let's get going.
But you're nervous. You skate on the ice. You worry that you fall down. I was on the island the one year. I think I don't know if Ray was there or not. Tommy Salo and I were playing. Tommy fell down on the way out. Like, it's the worst. Like, who would bite? Who would be the guy who would bite?
On Toronto?
Yeah.
I think it would be a rookie. Like, if Callie Rosen's going tomorrow night, he might. He might bail.
It's the worst feeling.
It's usually a goalie because you're clunkier, you've got more equipment, your stick is...
I was always nervous about that when skating out is just biting.
Don't blow a wheel, especially if there's like camera cords out there and you've got to hop over something. Yeah. Remember the Canucks?
The anthem singer
who was out there in skates a few years ago?
That could be the greatest YouTube clip of all time. Actually, on one of these five-pack Fridays, we did have him on. His name was Mark. On one of the five-pack Fridays, we have to have greatest YouTube clips. That guy tripping over the and still singing the anthem
after he bit it. Didn't he have like a separated shoulder or something?
I don't know. He looked like he was injured.
Come on, guy.
Dude, he blew a wheel. Like, why wouldn't that happen?
Passy Nurminen falling down the stairs, being that loaded, getting off the plane. There are For me, there's top five YouTube clips related to sports.
Totally agree with you. Courtney bringing up a good point that last year they retired all those numbers before the game.
Oh, yeah.
Remember they had all the season ticket holders and all the fans to, they wanted them there at like 5:30 and they unveiled that they were retiring the numbers, not only honoring the numbers. So maybe that factored into what they did a year ago with player intros.
I think the Leafs do a lot better job. I don't know if this is a Brendan Shanahan or Lou Lamoriello, but again, it was one of those things playing against the Leafs. You always knew it was going to be. It's not a 7 o'clock game. It's a 7:20 puck drop or whatever it is because there was always.
80s night. It's
there's a guy dropping down out of the sky. There's all these things.
Yeah.
And it's great because there's ceremonies, but again, it was always that circus-like atmosphere. When you played against the Maple Leafs.
All the time.
It would just, now it's all business. And even as a fan, I think you're probably like, let's get it going here. Let's play the game.
Absolutely. You show up, you want to play, especially when you think they're a good team.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're an entertaining team. You've been waiting for them to play a home game. The last time you were there, Washington scored in overtime and sent you home in game six.
Exactly.
You're dying to get back into the building. All right, we'll get back into that later in the hour. The Leafs acquired Calvin Pickard. He'll be their third goaltender. They picked him up through Vegas today. We'll talk about that. Duthie will join us later in the hour. Pedro Gomez coming up from ESPN. Gruesome injury for Edwin Encarnacion. We'll tell you about that. But it's Friday. It's Friday five-pack time. You guys ready to do this?
Yes, ready to rock.
He keeps asking me to give him a high five.
All right, classic. High five.
Five beers.
They were all out of six packs. Weird, huh?
Friday, five pack.
Top five, top five.
All right, so we came across this early in the week. I can't remember. I think it was the George Foreman, Steven Seagal
story.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Where Foreman challenged Seagal to a fight on pay-per-view. Seagal, I don't think, accepted it. I'm not even sure he acknowledged it. But we said, okay, we'll take that. And we want to come up with the five celebrity fights that we could potentially create, that we could witness.
And I will kick this party off.
Go
My
ahead.
First tilt, I would like Rod Black and Gino Retta in the mustache showdown.
Ooh.
So they both have to
Must
have a mustache.
Be in Vegas starting or main event. They have to grow mustaches, a full-out boxing match, and they beat the hell out of each other.
Wow.
I'd pay for that.
My second is a survival match on the 18th green at Augusta between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson.
That would be a good
The winner gets a green jacket, and the loser throws one away.
So that means Tiger could conceivably go to 15 majors if he knocks out Phil?
Yep.
Interesting.
Impressive.
I'd pay for that, too.
Neshek?
Pat Neshek
and Zach Greinke, a death match at a memorabilia store.
Yeah.
And whoever wins or loses, if Neshek wins, he gets the autograph from Greinke. And if he loses, he's got to get rid of all of his cards.
He's got to burn all of his cards, and he can never collect cards again.
Yeah.
He's got way more on the line than Greinke.
My fourth match is a kumite between Roger Clemens and Mike Piazza.
Ooh, that's 18 years in the making.
Yeah, that's the bat snapped in half, and he threw it at Piazza, and
Subway
he was like,
series.
Come on, I thought it was the ball.
Subway Series. Shouldn't that be on a Subway?
Oh, he lies.
All right, what's your five-pack? What's your
My five-pack is a mud wrestling match between Brandy Love and Jenny Lee.
Jenny Lee.
I'll have to look up her work. I don't think I'm familiar with Jenny Lee.
Don't know Jenny Lee.
Standing.
A mud fight.
Good flexibility.
No, mud wrestling.
Mud wrestling, of course. Yes. So you got to get the details right.
And the winner of that is the winner of life.
I don't think I'd pay for that, but I'd Google it and find it for free.
Exactly.
And then I'd delete my history.
Your browser history.
All right, Noodles, what do you have? Five pack.
Brian Burke versus Kevin Lowe. In a barn.
Wow.
Wow.
Because wasn't that proposed?
That was
on
Brian
Justin
Burke.
Penner?
I'll fight you anywhere.
Brian Burke claims he sent them a note or told them, I will rent a barn in Western New York and we can go and fight over Dustin Penner of all players.
Yeah, it was Penner, right? Yeah. All right, my number two, Jim Dolan versus Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley.
Charles Oakley,
Oakley would
Charles
smoke
Oakley.
Him.
Would kick his
the right odds would be
center,
crazy.
Center court.
At the Garden.
At MSG.
Dolan would be going off at like plus 2,500.
Dolan would have looked like Van Gundy chasing around.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing. I think Oakley was on that team,
Oakley
on that
will
Knicks
just
team.
Just rinse him.
Okay.
But I believe that.
I'd pay for it.
My number three, Joey Bats versus
Rougned Odor. Round two?
Round two.
Was it in Texas or at the Dome? Where would you have that tilt?
Brass rail site.
Okay. Somewhere in Tennessee or something.
Nashville.
Right on Broadway, outside of Tootsie's.
Because I want to see no sucker punches, just let's go at it.
Okay.
Odor looks like he can handle himself, but
he's
Joey Bats got suckered and didn't go down.
Yeah, I'll give him the second round.
Okay. Pete Rose versus the Major League Baseball commissioner who will not allow him
into Cooper. There's been a number of them. I mean, Bud Selig.
Pete Rose.
But was it Bud who was...
Bud is the main man.
Yeah, Bud's been pretty against him for a long time. They've got a new one now, Rob Manfred. Manfred could maybe... I think Pete could take them all, to be honest.
With his bow tie on?
Strap a bow tie. Make sure he has a nap first.
Wow.
I'll take Pete Rose. All right.
My last one, Tom Brady versus Roger Goodell.
Goodell
actually looks like a...
He's
pretty big man.
I bet you Goodell, get a couple beers in him. He'll kick your ass.
I'll bet you he
looks like he's
could.
Put together. Like, he's big guy.
He's got the rum nose cooking.
Yeah, he looks like he has a good time.
Uh-huh.
Off season. Shout out to a bunch of people who have sent this in. I'll try to give you the respect you deserve later, but Cellino versus Barnes is a fight that has to happen. Wouldn't you pay to see Cellino versus Barnes?
You did not. I've seen this.
I didn't come up with that. I'm admitting it.
So this is some other guy's list.
Someone else. I'm throwing it out there. Jennifer Aniston versus Angelina Jolie.
Wow, that
with
would
Huger
be
tilt.
Brad Pitt as the special referee.
Wow.
Imagine Brad Pitt, because they both hate his guts.
They would
I presume.
Scratch his eyes out.
Maybe they just turn
Maybe
on
Maybe the winner scratches his eyes out.
Kick his ass.
The winner gets one last hate session.
Joe Pesci from Casino versus Joe Pesci from Goodfellas.
Ooh.
Who do you think
Joe
would win
Pesci,
that?
Joe Pesci, Casino.
He seems crazier.
Which
Casino,
is the one with the pen?
That's Casino, isn't it? Because I can't remember
Returns
which one.
Returns him at the bar and just starts stabbing in his
That's
neck.
That's Casino, right? With the pen?
Yeah.
Goodfellas is where he kills Billy Bats or whatever because he said, go get your shine box. And he
oh,
comes
yeah,
back
that
and
one is...
stabs him a bunch in the trunk. But I'll throw that one out there. Two Toronto institutions, both places I love. Both guys you're familiar with if you listen to radio in the city. Dominic Finucci from Pizza Nova versus Pat Finelli from Pizza Pizza.
Wow.
Wouldn't Pat Finelli versus Dominic Finucci be a good tilt?
Yes.
Like, good Italian boys.
And they fight at like a 2-for-1 pizza.
Yeah.
and
the other guy has got to eat the other guy's pizza and say it's the greatest pizza ever.
Right.
That would
and
be a scrap.
How many have I had by now? I guess that's four. Nick Folk versus Dirk Cutter. The head coach of the Bucks, that would be my fifth one. Nick Folk, after he shanked 3 field goals last night, versus the Bucks head coach.
The Bucks head coach wants to kick his ass.
I think he has more at stake, but if Folk wins, he gets to stay on the team.
Really?
That's the caveat.
Surprised that Dutchie wasn't in the Kumite.
It's tough to find a matchup for Dutch. He's too big. He's too strong. I mean, who?
Rod Smith
could maybe take
say,
him.
Rod
out.
Smith could probably.
Rod Smith will kick. Anyone's
and you know
ass.
What that's over? A 60 of whiskey. That's what, the winner gets a 60 of Jack Daniels, walks out with it. Because I guarantee you both of those guys could handle that.
They'd be inspired.
Agreed.
They'd be very inspired. Katy Perry versus Taylor Swift is getting some love. Those two really hate on each other.
But it's petty stuff. Like, what do they really hate?
Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian, possibly. I don't think
I feel like
they
Kardashian
like
would
each
kick
other.
Her ass.
I don't know. She's Kardashians, gritty. I don't know. Yeah, they're gritty, but they grew up rich. Taylor Swift had to make it on her own. Think about that. She's got a chip on her shoulder. Kardashians grew up with all that cash already. They grew up in Beverly Hills.
That's true.
I'll take Taylor Swift in that fight.
Some
all right.
Tilt.
Are we calling Pedro Gomez? All right, so we'll get Pedro on here. Edwin Encarnacion. It looked painful. I've seen some replays. It's currently 3-2 Tribe. He was, I believe, sliding back into second base. It looks like he rolled his ankle, but he needed help getting off. And that would be too bad. I mean, Edwin is the kind of guy where he didn't say much in Toronto, but he just he stepped up to the plate and
played well.
Was an all-time great Blue Jay. I mean, I don't know if he's a top 10, but he's a top 15, top 20 Blue Jay of all time. I think most people looked at his exit as more of Atkins and Shapiro not getting the job done than Edwin being too greedy. Maybe his agent misplayed his hand. But if Cleveland ends up winning a World Series, it would be a real bummer if he blew his ankle out in the second game and couldn't play.
Yeah, that would.
I mean, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but it looked pretty ugly.
It did, yeah. I mean, he didn't even slide. He was kind of like standing up sliding, and it looked like he rolled it on the corner of the base. It's not good. And he's a very affable guy, very likable guy. But you're right, he did all of his talking with his bat in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Didn't seem like he...
Well, he had his translator with him.
I was just going to say,
he wasn't a guy that did radio interviews, TV interviews. He might.
Dude, it's whenever he wants. You see him on the bench, chit-chatting. It's all good. Oh, yeah. After the game, interpreter, please.
Can't speak. Anyway, let's go to, I believe, Washington. He's covering the Nats-Cubs series. Here is Pedro Gomez from ESPN. What's happening, Pedro?
Hey, how are you guys?
No, we're doing pretty well.
And I am indeed at Nationals Park, yes.
You're down there? Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. We're just talking about Edwin, and this would be a real bummer. I don't know if you saw the replay. It looks like he's pretty banged up. But if Encarnacion, for whatever reason, can't go, how do you think that would affect the Tribe's chances going forward? If he is out, I mean, again, we don't know yet, but how big of a role will he play in whatever success Cleveland has?
I mean, he is huge. I would say this, that you know, if you have to take someone off the roster during a round, he then cannot play in the next round. So if you see the Indians make a move tomorrow, that would be a strong indication that this is far more serious, because now you're giving up that bat for a potential American League Championship Series round. And that would obviously be huge. But, you know, he's a big RBI component in the middle of that lineup. He's had a tremendous season for them. But I will say this about the Indians. They're deep. They're deep. They're one of the few clubs that could possibly absorb a hit this big.
What is going on with all these stud starting pitchers who just cannot get deep into games?
Well, I was just going to comment on the depth of the Nationals pitching staff. But who knows once the game starts? They all seem to just fade away.
And it's everywhere now. And it's so different from just a generation ago, because when you got to October, you know, the starting pitchers used to be the rock stars, and now the middle relievers are basically the rock stars, and it's almost like it's gone on its head and turned upside down. You know, you saw the Royals do it a few years ago when they would basically pitch from the back of the game forward and just ask their starter to go five innings, and then you saw that the Indians did it last year, and it's just, you know, it's not like it used to be. I mean, you guys remember very well, you know, for the Twins, Jack Morris pitching 10 innings. Greg Maddux would go 7 or 8. You know, it wasn't that long ago that the starting pitcher was the rock star, but that role now seems to be in the hands of a middle reliever.
Well, even Madison Bumgarner just a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It was all Bumgarner. That's all you can remember from that whole playoff run for the Giants.
It seemed like he pitched every game.
That used to be the norm.
Right.
That used to be the norm with clubs. You know, Dave Stewart would go 9, whether it was with Oakland or Toronto. And you know, going back even a generation before, Sandy Koufax, Bob Gibson, those guys would never give up the ball.
Well, and Strasburg's going tonight. Kershaw's going tonight. I'm almost expecting both of them to just get blown up. I mean, it's weird how it's working. And
neither one to go five innings.
Right.
I know. We're living in a different era of baseball, and that's evident from when you see the game. Period. I mean, you know, all the strikeouts now. It's just the game has definitely evolved into something that's not necessarily reminiscent of what we grew up watching.
With Pedro Gomez from ESPN again, he's down in Washington. Nats Cubs tonight. The NLDS for both get started tonight. The Cubs, you know, this time last year, they were the focal point for every baseball fan. Everyone was wondering if they could break the curse, if they could go on a run. They were the best team during the regular season. And now this year, they kind of stumbled along. They took off a bit in September. They end up clinching. They get in. And they're playing a team in Washington that has no playoff history of success. Yet I don't get the sense, like a lot of people are circling the Cubs as a team that can repeat. What's your take or what's your belief and vibe on where the Cubs are at and their chances this year?
I mean, it's one of the great unknowns because we really don't know who these Cubs are. You know, John Lester was the game one starter in all three rounds of the postseason last year. And today you're going with Kyle Hendricks, who is a fine pitcher, but, you know, he's not what you think of when you think of a game one starter. And for that reason, I don't know that we know. I mean, the Cubs could go. Look, they definitely have the talent to go on a roll and be able to beat the Nationals and possibly get to the World Series again. And I do get the sense that the players are playing kind of with a chip on their shoulder, like, hey, nobody thinks that we can do this again. Why don't we go show them? So I think that is in the back of their minds some motivation. There's no doubt about that. And that would not surprise me because these are still a very talented roster. But I think it's a great unknown. I don't know. They could sweep the Nationals. They could get swept by the Nationals.
Starts tonight. We're looking forward to it. You will be all over it. As always, we appreciate you doing this. Thank you, Pedro.
All right, guys. Take care.
Pedro Gomez from ESPN. Like, the Cubs win a World Series, and then it's like, okay.
They started off terrible, and they made some trades and kind of reloaded, and then they got their you-know-what together. It almost started with that series against the Jays.
Swept the Jays, and all three games were relatively close.
Now Bartman's a star there.
Maybe they wheel him back out.
If they went back-to-back, say they're in the World Series, does Bartman make an appearance in the stadium?
I don't get the sense like Bartman is coming back.
I
like, they've invited him many times, and I think he said, screw it, I'm not doing
it. Absolutely. Why would you? You get treated like garbage for that?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
But you look at the Cubs, they're still loaded. You know, they're loaded. And the Nats, they choke every year in the playoffs. The Dodgers choke every year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we believe the Diamondbacks? I mean, why can't the Cubs represent the National League? They absolutely can't.
Yep.
So if it gets to that point, they may be... You know, maybe they won't be favored against the Indians or Houston, whoever they play on the American League side of things, but best of seven baseball playoffs, so unpredictable. Why can't they get there again? James Duffy will join us. It's the home opener for the Maple Leafs tomorrow night. We'll tee that up. The Leafs acquired a depth goaltender today. We'll tell you about that and what's up with all the scoring throughout the league. And not just scoring, like beautiful plays throughout the NHL. Like, skill is on display. How do we keep this going?
And be careful, folks, all you youngsters. You're pretty pumped up for a long weekend with family. You could be looking at a...
turkey dump.
Yes.
A turkey...
sky dump.
Overdrive continues on TSN 2. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVR on TSN 2. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. You can find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca, or subscribe and get every hour on iTunes. Duffy's coming up here in a moment, the host of the Rubber Boots podcast. I believe he just had a new episode come out recently.
Steals all our stuff.
He does a good job with that podcast. Everyone's doing podcasts. Duffy's got a podcast.
Well,
Mackenzie's got a podcast. Jay and Dan have a podcast. Everyone's got a podcast. We've got our own radio podcast show. We're vintage.
Exactly.
Old school radio. And Duffy was in Ottawa last night.
Yeah, I worked with him.
You were calling a game.
We were on the same flight this morning. Early.
What time would you guys fly in from Ottawa?
This morning? It was 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Why do you have to get out of there?
Not necessary.
Yeah, why do you have to do that? That makes no sense.
You've got responsibilities.
What do you have that is so necessary that
I'm
you return at 7?
I'm on a noon flight, and
I got a daughter
right to work.
Yeah,
daughter in school.
Come on, you know, guy.
Yeah, but she's at school by the time you get home.
No,
she's at school by the time you get home. What time does she go to school at?
I landed at 8, and I'm in my house by 8:30. And I can get her to school if I wanted to, but we have somebody else do that.
What time do kids go to school these days?
Well, she's got to be there for 9.
God, kids are lazy these days. We used to go to school at like 8 o'clock, I thought.
I always say that. And you get mad at me because I say people are lazy.
Well, kids.
We live in the excuse world. You know that. Everyone's got an excuse for everything.
Well, everything's about studies now. My understanding is studies have indicated that the more and more kids sleep in, the later they get to school, the more attentive they are,
really?
The more studious they are. So maybe that's what it is. You guys see that study that was going around yesterday out of Montreal? I think it was like high school kids that actually put forth the study. And it indicated that watching hockey is bad for your health.
I saw that on Twitter, yeah.
Bad for your cardiovascular health. So in other words, the heart rate gets pumping. And if you're watching a game at home, it gets to a certain level. If you're at the rink, it's like through the roof.
Dude, I watch hockey and I don't even like blink.
I could see this being true. You get a tie game, playoffs.
For gamblers, maybe.
No, just if you're invested in your team, I'd freak out too. Tie game, playoffs, like double OT, Leafs, Caps, like Ovi at a breakaway, your heart would be racing. You'd be freaking out.
Yeah,
why would you even bring this up? That was a no guy.
What, you don't believe that this is true?
Come on. No guy.
I'll bet you Duthie agrees with this study. Although maybe. Duthie will probably play the I don't have a favorite team role, so I never get that invested. That's my guess.
Yeah.
You want to guess how he's going to answer that?
Yeah, I don't really. I have nothing invested anyway. I'm just the host.
All right, here's James Duthie. Is that how you were planning on answering that?
No, I was planning on saying that I would like to commission a study on how stupid studies are.
Hmm.
Like 60% of media is studies. And one week it's red wine will kill you. And the next week is red wine is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. One glass a day is healthy.
And you know what? All these medical, I don't know, journals or whatever, these guys are getting grants to do these studies. And every week they just tell you something different. I think it's one of the greatest travesties of our society. I'm going to do a paper on it.
You need to do a study on that.
There's so many travesties.
That's what it sounds like. You were about to say that, weren't you?
Do a study on it.
I do not get excited watching hockey, but I mean, you could say that for any sport. Anything that anybody's passionate about is, I guess you could say that it raises their blood pressure if you're that type of person and affects them, but it's just such a waste of space. Sorry about that.
Anyway. I think hockey and soccer, though, are different because it's such a free-flowing, low-scoring sport. There are just really aren't that many stops and starts where I could see that being the case. Like you can picture it, it's building. Like, let's say you're a Flames fan and McDavid picks up the puck in the corner. By the time he hit the red line, your heart is racing because you're like, here he goes. Look at him. It's in. I know it's going in. And then he scores and you freak.
Yeah, I don't think your heart is racing. I just think you're like, wow, that was fast.
But if you're talking stress, yes, hockey's bad for stress. But, I mean, baseball, the slow build of holding a one-run lead in a must-win game seven or being down by one, I think would just affect you just as much. Maybe your heart's not racing, but the stress level would be equal. So I don't know. I think the whole thing's dumb.
All right.
We had a discussion last night, actually, about the actual playing time of a sport. For example, an NFL game, you pay $400 for a ticket, and there's only 11 minutes of live action.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
baseball's the
baseball
worst.
Like, you know, you pay a ton of money and, you know, they pitch it, they hit it, and then they wait for 5 minutes for the next pitch or whatever it is. Like the time, there's not a lot of live action in that. And then you look at basketball is 48 minutes. Hockey is the number one, live action,
mm-hmm.
60 minutes.
Golf is terrible too. And that's why, I mean, I love golf. Oh, loves golf. I could watch it for hours, but it live golf, I think, like, once you see it, it's something, you know, going to the Masters or going to the, you know, the British Open at St. Andrews is something because you're experiencing it. But actually watching live golf, going to the John Deere Classic or any PGA Tour event is terrible because on TV you get to see every shot. There, if you decide to follow, you know, Graham DeLette's group, they tee off. Three of them, whack, whack, whack. There's about 12 seconds of action. And then you walk for 7 minutes and wait and watch them. Then they hit it again. And for the most part, you know, two guys are on the green 25 feet away. One guy's in the rough. And then you get up to the green and one guy might make the putt, but probably not. All three miss. And then off you go to the next hole. It's not, it's not a fantastic live sport.
Yeah, you're not really selling it, but I think you're right. I mean, it's true, and especially if it's like a Thursday of a donkey tournament, that'd be brutal.
Well, I've always said, if you can go to Augusta, go to the Masters. Go there once to experiencing it.
Yeah, you go Thursday, Friday, and you come home and watch it on TV on the weekend.
Yeah, you get, it's impossible. Every time I get interviewed after the Masters, people say to me, what was it like out there on 12 when Spieth dunked 2 in the water? And I go, I don't know. I was watching on a 12-inch TV in the compound, because you can't cover the Masters with no electronic scoreboards and no phones on the golf course.
Well,
I mean, you can follow one guy. Maybe if the last two guys are the only two guys in it, like this year, but you can't follow the tournament. You have no idea what's going on.
Well, that was the moment where Nick Faldo could have absolutely just destroyed Jordan Spieth, and he said, oh, my goodness. We have that, hey, don't we, Mulls?
Yeah.
Mulls is sleeping. He's just asleep.
Quickly, before you get on to anything else, I had to tell I ran into a couple of our girlfriends last night. O and I had a couple of groupies during the Senators playoff run last year. I don't know if you'll remember this, O. They came to watch every one of our panel hits. They would stay to watch our last post-game hits after the building cleared out.
Wow.
They were two young ladies about...
Duthie, they were in 70, their 60s.
78 and 75.
Wow.
Where did you see them?
And they were there, because they were there last night. And they said, where's O?
Well.
They came. Because O last year said to them, you know, they would clap. Every time we finished a panel, they would clap. They were the sweetest people in the world. And I would say, what are you doing after? And they're like, we're available. We're not going home to our husband.
Wow, look at you two.
So it was Blanche
crushing it.
Anyway, they were in their finest blouses and sweaters last night, and wanted to know where O was at. So I had to pass that along.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll see them before too long.
With James Duthie.
That's the demo we're running right now, buddy.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're looking for on TSN 5. what's the biggest overreaction through 2 days for you? 2 days into the NHL season, biggest overreaction?
Well, I'm going to say Winnipeg, but I understand it, if that makes sense. So I do. You can't, you know, one game they want to kick Steve Mason out of town. But I understand the way they feel, because that's what's plagued them for 3 years. And when you go get a guy who's been pretty average his entire career and he's terrible in the first game, I get it why there would be panic. But it is one game, so that's silly. It's like when McElhinney had that bad first preseason game, and we have to fill all this time in radio, and there were people going, okay, do we need a new backup? I mean, it's one game. I'm not saying that won't be a story. I think they might be in trouble, because I don't have a lot of faith in either one of those guys in Winnipeg. But, you know, I feel bad for Mason that they want to run him out of town already.
I think my answer, as much as I'm reluctant to throw it out because I don't want to believe it, is that all of this goal scoring and these beautiful highlights that we're seeing every night, it's going to fade. It's going to stop. Because it seems like it happens every year. Goals go through the roof the first month of the season, then everything slows down.
But I can defend that just because systematically teams aren't tight yet. And we've seen it with the Leafs. Like, the Leafs penalty kill looked awful the other night. That's not going to be the case, because they're not. Frederik Andersen can't make 10 saves in the first period on the penalty kill. And you're not going to survive a lot of games if you play like that. But eventually, it'll come a second nature. It'll be habits for guys,
and that's league wide.
It's league wide. That's what I mean. That's it. Just over time, the system settles in, and guys just know where to go on the ice.
You're right, Nils. But I think, Brian, it's so true. I don't know. Let's say that the hockey was like the NFL, and everybody played on opening night. You imagine what we would have been saying the morning after that? Connor McDavid scores a hat trick. They win 3-0. Patrick Kane pulls two of the best moves we'll see all year in the same game, and they win 10-1 or whatever. Wayne Simmons hat trick. Ovi does nothing for two periods and then gets a hat trick in about 7 minutes. It's probably, if you add it all together, one of the most spectacular, you know, opening games, if you add it all up, that we've seen in a long time.
Well, and then you got Vegas tonight making their debut, and we were talking about this earlier. I never cared about expansion teams because I always knew they were going to be brutal, and I think Vegas will be awful. But I didn't care when Columbus came into the league. I didn't care when Minnesota or San Jose, even when Ottawa returned it. I mean, it just didn't mean anything because it wasn't worthy of my attention because I knew they weren't going to be a very good team. Yet, because it's Vegas, it's the first time I can say I'm actually going to track a team because of the market. Like, I'm going to be interested to see what they do just because I want to know what the reaction is because Vegas is such a unique marketplace.
But what are you going to know? I mean, the crowd will be there and the crowd will be loud. But, you know, it's almost like you have to wait a few months in and see what is this fan base here? Who are these people? Is there this core of hockey fans? Is it just how many casino tickets is it? I don't think you'll get answers in one night. You're going to get a really loud crowd, and you're right. It's an experiment, but I think we need to see it for a while to see. I'd love to go down there. I wish we could go on the road when the Leafs go there or whatever, just and take the panel down there.
That's right.
That's self-serving.
New Year's Eve.
I keep telling you. That's what I keep saying.
Is that
saying.
The New Year's Eve game?
Yeah, it's a New Year's Eve game.
Afternoon game, New Year's
you
Eve.
You better talk you to some noodle? Bosses and get
I'm not
there.
Calling the game, no, unfortunately. No. I would have given my
left
arm. No, how about my right kicking foot?
Your potential.
New Year's Eve in Vegas for the outdoor game in Ottawa. I'm taking Vegas on New Year's Eve.
Exactly.
Seems like a pretty obvious answer, wouldn't you say?
I'm on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll
no,
see.
I still, but I think we've been saying since they got the franchise, I still have serious doubts. It's funny, when I went down there to do, I think I was doing a Gretzky interview for a Dustin Johnson piece last winter, and the cab driver was trying to convince me that it was going to be incredibly successful. That he said that the market was so starving for professional sports that he didn't give a crap about hockey, but he would buy season tickets and support that team. And he felt that there were, you know, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of others who were just desperate to have Vegas to have a team. And so, but is that novelty? Does that mean they're going to buy season tickets for 7 years or 8 years? I don't know. Like I said, it's going to, I guess there have been places like Nashville that have won fans, but Nashville didn't happen overnight either. Remember,
no.
It took 10, 15 years before they fell in love with that hockey team. So it's going to be a real weird science sports experiment to see what happens there.
Yeah, we'll see. They're in Dallas tonight. And the Stars, I mean, you talk about a team that was a tire fire a year ago and now universally accepted as a playoff team because of Hitchcock and Bishop and Radulov and Mathot. I mean, those are all big pieces, but
I almost picked them when we were doing our stupid picks for the preview show. I almost picked them, and then I said, I don't know. I just don't have enough evidence that all this stuff thrown together is suddenly going to work.
I didn't pick them. Weren't they the pick, though? Wasn't it them?
You didn't pick them to make the playoffs?
Tampa Edmonton, I think, was our Stanley Cup final.
Okay.
But Dallas was in the – Dallas losing to Edmonton in the conference final, I believe, was our quote-unquote consensus pick.
Right. So you almost thought of them as a cup final or just making the playoffs, you're saying?
No, I think I put them in the conference final, and only because I didn't really have any other good answers. And it's the same reason I put Edmonton, and it feels a little bit too early maybe for Edmonton, but I looked around, and there was nothing else. There was nobody else there that said, okay, Chicago I looked at and said, okay, probably a bounce-back year. That's exactly what they do. But, you know, they're getting old, and they were so bad in that first round. I couldn't do that. St. Louis just always disappoints. I just kept going through all these teams, and there's just nobody anymore that overwhelms you out there. And so I was left at the end saying Dallas is the most improved, and Edmonton has McDavid, and that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think I'm sure a lot of people did the same thing, a process of elimination. And I think I had Anaheim winning the cup.
Did you?
Yeah. I think
that's reasonable.
You know, when Vatanen returns and when Lindholm returns and Kessler returns, they're loaded.
James, before we let you go, we were talking, we had our Friday five-pack today of top sports celebrity pay-per-view matches you'd like to see. Example, Tiger Woods versus Phil in a death match on the 18th green at Augusta. Do you have one sports celebrity match that you would like to see?
I've got one for you if you're just thinking. I'll give
you
a little bit of time.
Can you throw a couple more examples as we're writing here? So,
how about Bobby Mack versus the Quizmaster?
Yeah, and mud wrestling.
We're talking, these are fights? These are just
yeah.
fights?
Oh, yeah, fights.
Full-blown pay-per-view
cage,
fights.
Yeah. Cage death matches.
Anything cage you match, want. Kumite, mud
okay,
wrestling.
Bob and McKenzie and the Quizmaster, that would be death in 24 seconds.
Yes.
So there's no point of that even going.
Yeah.
Now, would this be real? Like, these guys would have to, like...
Dude, nothing is real.
Really
just, you gotta
only
just
one
pick
person
something.
Walks out?
Yeah, basically. That's what we're saying. Cage fight to match. The death.
Yeah.
Kumite.
Okay, hold on.
I was going to say Brian Hayes versus Gary Lawless.
That's great. That's it. With Matthews and Laine as the special guest referees.
Exactly.
He would smother him with his My Pillow.
I could bring one... object into the ring. It would be my very
a
own
foreign object. You
a foreign other. Object.
It changed my life, and I snuffed out others with it.
It changed Gary's life too. It ended his.
Yeah.
Okay. Gary Bettman.
Ooh. Versus Jerry Bettman.
Versus Jerry Bettman. There you go. That's what I want.
That's a great way to go out. All right, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you guys too. Have a great weekend.
There's James Duthie. Gary Bettman
versus Jerry Bettman.
Best bets brought to you by ProLine next. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking ahead to the NFL this weekend. I'm on the Lions at home, -3 over Carolina. Curious to see how Cam Newton responds to the controversy he created this week. And the Lions have been really good. They're at home. I'll take them. Taking the Rams at home against Seattle. Seattle on the road has not been great. And the Rams and Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and Sammy Watkins, your boy.
We love us some Sammy Watkins.
They're -1. It's effectively a pick 'em at home. I'll take them. And I'll take the points, Baltimore at Oakland. Baltimore coming off a brutal couple of games. But Oakland's got E.J. Manuel starting at quarterback. And I'm getting 3 points. So I'll take Baltimore, throw down 20. You could score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
We are out of here. We'll be back on Monday, which is a holiday.
We're going to be in here, which means no one will be parked in the parking lot. No one will be working here. The lights will be off. We're probably not. The mics won't be working. But we will be
here.
We
will be here.
We're going to be here. Is Mullen going to be here?
No.
Mullen's not going to be here. What a greaseball.
No guy.
He'll be at the cottage getting drunk again.
With Larry. Him and Larry will be.
Is that where you're going?
Having the time of his life.
Yes. He'll be Sergio dipping his way out in Oshawa. Look at you.
Yeah.
And Gene Hunt, shorts. I don't. Hunt's probably a game time decision. He'll be in here.
Thumbs up.
Fergie will be. Fergie's not coming.
He's
in
a
either.
No guy. It's a veteran.
Just no guys all around.
It's so embarrassing that we have to come into work. I swear to God, it's a joke.
You had to be in here anyway. You're on the panel.
I don't care.
I'm working the whole night Monday.
You're
night.
Working.
I might as well be here.
I'm coming in. Yeah. Can't wait for it. It should be a great afternoon.
We'll
enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We will.
Chat then.
We don't want to chat, but we will chat on Monday.